Our human ability to manipulate and observe the electronic universe is beginning to be matched by a growing human ability to do the same thing in the biological universe. In the 21st century, synthetic life is not some Halloween Frankensteinian creation of sewed-together body parts hooked up to some lightning rod. With the ability to splice genes together, scientists have developed ways of creating fully fabricated cells, the genetic instructions for which are entirely something from the lab, primitive life forms with attributes that don't exist in nature. The process can create cells or combine the attributes of existing cells, an evil bacteria coupled with a way of living and reproducing through the air, a superbug found nowhere in nature but now a brand new resident of planet Earth. J. Craig Venter is a pioneer scientist who first sequenced the human genome and more recently was the first to create a living cell based on a synthetic genome. Venter has peeked over the horizon and has seen a new world with miraculous implications for medicine, but at the same time, terrifying implications for national security. Lori Garrett is a senior fellow for global health at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of last week's cover piece in Foreign Affairs titled Biology's Brave New World. I asked Lori about scientists doing this work, particularly Craig Venter, Dr. Evil or miracle worker?
I don't think he's either. I think he's an exceptionally good scientist, a brainiac, a master of the biotechnology world, a scientist who's figured out how to have his feet simultaneously in basic research and industrial biotechnology. Every step of the way, he has issued warnings. He has tried to get bioethicists and people in government to pay attention. He's tried to say to everybody, look, we're walking down a really heavy-duty path here, and there's a lot of very possibly negative outcomes that are in the realm of public safety, public health, bioterrorism, and so on, but also in the realm of ethics. Who gets to decide the definition of life and the sort of religious ramifications he understands to be quite profound?
Do you think, and you quote someone in this piece that you wrote for the Council on Foreign Relations, that we've reached the end of Darwinism through the use of these synthetic biology techniques? Do you believe that?
Well, Darwinism will continue out there in nature, but human beings no longer have to await natural selection. And so, yes, we have reached the end of Darwinism in the sense that science is now pushing evolution actively. The limits are really what humanity sets as its own limits, what humanity says, look, we can't go down this path or that path. And unfortunately, so far, that conversation hasn't really occurred, not in an inclusive way, outside of very small circles of scientists.
Where has the national security establishment kind of missed the boat on this technology?
Almost entirely. The problem here is manifold. Most of the rest of government is very far behind the curve. They don't follow the science. They're not on top of it. They don't realize the pace of its movement. Around the world, it gets even more difficult because of the tremendous gaps in understanding as you go into different parts of the world that are further behind the curve on basic science. So the real problem is that if there is any kind of a governance infrastructure designed to protect us from either deliberately released nasty organisms or a greater probability accidentally released that just get out of a lab because of some sloppy mistake somebody made, those infrastructures are weak to begin with, and they are all based on looking for a certain list of known pathogens. So almost every country has on their list of watch out for it, Ebola virus, for example. But the problem is that's so old-fashioned. That's like 25 years ago science. Now we're at the point where you have to have the capacity to anticipate the previously unknown, and perhaps unknowable.
Part of what's really frightening about the national security implications here is just how science kind of knows this story, that the most terrifying technologies are all technologies that have multiple uses, that the research that gives us the miracle breakthrough or miracle understanding also gives us the huge powers of destruction. Is that being played out in biology?
Well, that's the whole point. We've had this game in chemistry with the development of the first agricultural fertilizing chemicals that turned out to also be chemical weapons. And one of those is getting destroyed right now in Syria. Biology had a glimmer of it in 1975-76 with the first forays into genetic engineering and a sort of stop, pause, and think moment that biologists collectively did in what was famously known as the Asilomar Conference. But it turned out that was not really the moment. The moment is now.
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of confidence on the international community developing a cooperative set of protocols to prevent technology from marching forward. It seems that it always does in the end. But are we already at a state where someone could develop the technology and expertise and find the equipment to basically turn a benign cell that lives in my mouth into the most dangerous disease known to humanity?
I don't know if it would be the most dangerous known to humanity, but certainly the technology is all there already. And the experiments in increments have all been done. What hasn't been done, fortunately, yet is somebody really going all out to make, you know, a super horrible microbe. But keep in mind, there's all kinds of beneficial sides to this as well that are driving the technology. People are designing new life forms that can convert sunlight into energy, can devour oil spills, all sorts of things that could be beneficial. And I in no way recommend anything that would slow down the beneficial side of either gain-of-function research or synthetic biology. I think that this is the revolution that biology and medicine have been waiting for, and things you can't even imagine are coming down the pike, and they're coming fast. All I'm saying is, let's make sure that the bad stuff doesn't come down the pike and catch us unprepared and unable to protect humanity, plant life, our livestock, our pets, our environment.
A warning and a lot of cutting-edge science from journalist author Lori Garrett, Senior Fellow for Global Health at the Council on Foreign Relations. I want to say thank you, but you've made it a more real Halloween week for me, Lori.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.